Thank you, Pastor Paul. Good morning, friends. So nice to see all of you. It's a privilege to be here with you. Thank you, Pastor Paul, and all of you for this opportunity. And we appreciate you for that. It's nice to be back, and good to see all of you. It's very sad to see what's happening in the world. I'm glad you are praying for the persecuted, and they need our prayers. When I was talking to people here, some of them were asking about India and all that. You can tell that we are from India. India is halfway around the world. There are about 1.4 billion people live in India. About 83% are Hindus, 13% Muslims, and less than 5% Christians. There is so much work needs to be done in India. And I'm so happy to know the true God. There are so many people in the world searching, looking to find the truth. But there are so many people are trying to stop them from searching the truth. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I think the world is changing faster than we can imagine. In this last 20 years, it's really moving fast. And the world is doing things that are written in the Bible. We are seeing that they are knowingly or unknowingly, they are fulfilling God's word. We know what's going to happen in the end of the days. And those are the things the world is going crazy to come to that point. And I know we don't have that much time left. So as we have the time, we need to reach out to those who don't know Jesus. By the grace of God, we are doing well, and our ministries are doing better now after COVID, and our families are doing well. My brother Joseph, who is in charge of the ministry there, like a month ago, he was in the jungle area to take care of some business and to share the gospel and to dedicate the borewells. And he experienced some pain in his chest. And there are no hospitals there to go to. And somebody gave him some pills, and they were there for 3 days, and he was going through that pain all these 3 days. He went home, and he went to the hospital. They checked and said, "You just had a heart attack." And they gave some medicine, and after a couple of weeks, he had another one. He was in a youth meeting, sharing the gospel with the young people. And all of a sudden, he collapsed. They immediately took him to the doctor. The doctor tested and said he just had a heart attack. And he said, take him immediately to the specialist. They have to drive 2.5 hours to go to that specialist. When he went there, the doctor checked again and said, yeah, you had a stroke. And they said, we have to test you, more tests done on you to see what we can do. And they came up with like a blockage in an artery. And they said, we have to put a stent in. So he had to wait a couple of days, and they put the stent in. But the doctor said before he left the hospital, the stent is working good, but your heart is weak. You have to be careful. So he's at home taking rest, and I saw him in a picture my daughter sent this morning. They took all the Sunday school and young people to the beach. I saw him serving the food to these young people, and I was surprised he was there. And our daughter called me this morning, and I'm going to share with that. Our children are grown up. They're not children anymore. They're grown up. Our son, Jesse, is 22, and our daughter, Stacy, is 20. Our son is in final year of bachelor's. And our daughter, there's a lot of things going on with her life. And 6-7 years ago, we were in Florida. We went to visit an Indian family. This family is a very strong Christians. The woman of the family raised in India, and at the age of 7 or 8, God called her to preach the gospel. And God used her in a mighty way to evangelize in the whole part of our area. God did so many miracles through her. She was a fireball. And we had a dinner with them, and while we were still at the table, she asked my son, Jesse, what would you like to be when you grown up? He said, I want to be a pastor. I want to do what my dad is doing. And she turned around and talked to Stacy and said the same thing. What would you like to do when you grow up? She said, I want to be a science teacher. I love science. And she immediately looked at her and said, no, 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 you're not going to be a teacher. You are going to be a doctor. And she said, no, 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 no. I can't be a doctor. I'm scared of blood. It never happens. And she said again, no, you are going to be a doctor. By the time we went back to India, her mind was completely changed. And she said, I want to be a doctor. I said, you wanted to be a teacher. No, 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 I want to be a doctor. I said, you don't have to be a doctor. You can be something. You can be a computer programmer. You're good with the computers. And she said, no, I want to be a doctor. I was trying to discourage her from going to medical school because I know my financial ability. I know I can't support her. And I didn't know what to tell her. And I kept saying, you have to pray about this. We'll pray also. If God wants you to go, he has to provide the finances. And then you can go. And last year, before I left India to come back here, she asked me, "Daddy, what do you want me to do?" And said, I said, "I will let you know." In the meantime, she wrote a test to be qualified for to be admitted to medical school, and she passed the test. And she asked me again, "I want to go to medical school." I told her, "Let's pray about this and see what God will do." And I told her, "When I go back, I'll let you know." After praying, and I found out, like in our board meeting, I told them about our daughter. And they said, "You can't ask anybody to send gifts through Hope Ministries." I said, "How can I raise funds for her?" They said, "That's not legal to ask for money to your own family." Then I started praying, "God, if it is your will for her to be a doctor, you provide the funds." I spoke in a church. I told them about Stacy and our son Jesse, and I asked them to pray for her because she wanted to be a doctor. And after the church, somebody came to me and said, "Would you like to come over to our house to visit?" We went there after we spent some time, and we were leaving, and we were in the driveway to our car. It was pouring down rain. That family, that woman came running in the rain and said, "Jacob, stop." We stopped, and she said, "We've been praying for your daughter. I feel that God wanted us to help her." We said, "Praise the Lord." And she helped us to go through 4 years. And there are 2 more years to go after that. And now she is in Manila, Philippines. I told Stacy, "Now you can make plans." And she made all the plans, and she contacted colleges, and she was accepted in Manila, Philippines. And 25 days ago, she went there, and she calls us every day, and she found a church very close to the college, and she started attending there, and she's asking her friends who are Hindus, and she is taking them to the church with them, with her. And last week, they had a special service for Indian students, and they asked, "If anybody would like to come and pray, please come forward." She got up and walked to the front, and she prayed in English. And she's doing well, and the classes are not started yet. So keep her in your prayers. And we know our God is an awesome God. Praise the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. We worry about the food, we worry about the clothes, we worry about everything. The word of God is saying to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In our life, we need to seek God first. Instead of worrying, instead of scared of the things that are coming, And instead of worrying about what we don't have at home and the situation we are in, we worry about those things. But the Word of God is saying to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. Look at the birds. They don't sow or harvest, but God takes care of them. God feeds them. Look at the flowers. They only live for one day, but still God takes care of them. How much more are you precious to God? When I saw how God provided for her, and I can't tell no to Stacy, you can go. This is God's will for you. We prayed and asked God, God, if you provide, she will go to medical school. We didn't even ask this family. They heard a little bit about that in the church. And they said, we want to help her. That's how our God is. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always there for us. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for us. All of our anxiety, we don't have to worry about it. And we put it all this on God. He knows what we need. He knows our circumstances. And he is ever-loving, faithful God. Praise the Lord. Where there is hope, there is faith. Where there is faith, miracles happens. That's what we need to do. Trust in God. We know the true God. There's so many Hindus are praying and asking their gods for help. When they're sick, they're praying and asking their gods, idols. When they're in trouble, they spend hours before their gods, but they don't receive any answers. As a last resort, they come to a church or evangelists go to their village to share and share the gospel and pray for them. God answered their prayers. Sometimes people were at the end of the rope. God, we've been praying for you. You haven't answered me. You haven't helped me. And some even decided, I'm going to kill myself tonight. When they're praying to all their gods before they kill themselves, no God answered them. And they hear a still small voice saying, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. Get up. We had a pastor. He was a Hindu priest. His family has been a Hindu priest for several generations. And he has been servicing this God in the temple for a long time. And one day he started praying, God, I have been serving you for a long time, but you never spoke to me. And he started praying. And he said, God, I want you to speak to me. If you don't speak to me, I'm going to kill myself. He fasted 40 days praying to gods. No God answered them. And he said, I'm going to pray for another 40 days. and no answer. And he prayed another 40 days. On the 120th day, he prayed a specific prayer. Tonight, midnight, if you don't speak to me before midnight, I'm going to get up and go to the train station and put my head on the track and kill myself. The time was coming, the 12 o'clock, midnight. He was crying and asking the guards to help them. No guard answered him. He got up, went to the station, sat on a bench waiting for the train to come. He was crying. He was scared. And all of a sudden, he felt a tap on his shoulder. He got up, looked around. There was nobody. He was wondering what happened. There was another tap on the shoulder. He got up and looked around. Nobody was there. He was wondering, am I going crazy? There was another tap on the shoulder and said, get up and walk to the place where I lead you. He didn't know what to do. He was scared and crying. He got up and God led him to a house, 3 o'clock in the morning. And he went to that house and he knocked at the door. A woman opened the door and asked him, who are you? Why are you here? He said, I'm so and so. I was at the station to kill myself. Somebody tapped on my shoulders and he brought me here. She said, come on in, make yourself at home. And she walked into her bedroom and brought the Bible out. And she shared the gospel with this man. And at early morning hours, he was on the floor crying and asking Jesus to forgive his sins. Jesus came to him and he forgave his sins. And he is a brand new person. He became a new person. All things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. And then Jesus called him, I want you to share the gospel. Then he started sharing the gospel to his family. Some of them didn't like. And he went around and started preaching. And he started a couple of churches. Praise the Lord. That's our God. Our son Jesse, is very involved with the ministry and he started a youth group. And he gathers all of them every Sunday evening and they teach the Word of God and everybody, they made a rule, everybody has to read at least 5 verses. And they started in from the Psalms. And some of the young people came to me later on and said, we were terrified when he said we have to read the Bible. We never read the Bible before. And now they are used to read the Bible. And now they are started to pray. And also they are very actively involved with anything that goes in the church. Every first Sunday, they have a dinner for everybody in the church. All these young people take care of all the work. And every Sunday, somebody comes and say, I will take care of the next dinner. And God is really blessing them. And we praise God for that. And our daughter, Stacy, she teaches Sunday school when she was back in India. She taught Sunday school. And she was a worship leader. is like him. And she was a good worship leader. And we praise God and pray that God will continue to strengthen her and give her the strength and the wisdom that she needs. The children homes, since COVID, something happened because of some problems with the state. And the state came and told us, you have to send all the children back to their families. And we told them, we have a secure place here. They can stay here. They will be safe here. They said, no, you have to send them back home. And some children started crying. We don't want to go back home. We don't have anything to eat at home. And they forced us to send them back home. And now our children's homes are open. And some children came back. And some children, they are receiving support from the state. I'm glad they are receiving support from the government. They are providing school books and uniforms, shoes, ties, and everything. And on top, they are giving a gift, annual gift to the family. So they're more attracted to this, and they started going to the public school. But we are very happy for them, but our concern is their spiritual life. Some children came back. We opened the children's homes, and we are taking care of now 120 children. And we used to have 300 of them. And we have our doors are open, and anybody then come, they can be accepted into the home. And please pray for that. And our evangelists, 200 of them, are working in the surrounding areas. They're working in around 200-mile area. And a lot of them are preaching the gospel in the jungle areas. Our evangelists were once Hindus, most of them. They heard the gospel through an evangelist. Or when they prayed, Jesus spoke to them. And their lives were turned around and they accepted Jesus. And then Jesus called them to go and preach the gospel to these people. And they are the kind of evangelists that are working and they have a burden for the lost souls. And we started about 150 churches. And these pastors take care of the churches, and also during the weekdays, they go out into the villages. They travel every day and share the gospel. And 3 weeks ago, we prayed for the persecuted church. I'm very happy that you prayed this morning. When I heard these stories, how Christians are being persecuted, I question, why? Why? There are so many gods in India. They say 3 million gods. I know that's exaggeration, but there are thousands and thousands of gods they worship. They have a god here, a god in that next village, a god in one somebody's house, and they all in unity worship them. They don't fight each other. But when it comes to Jesus, you have to watch out. They pray, but they never hear anything from their gods. They never speak to them, never answer their prayers. But when it comes to Christianity, they hate Christians. I say, why? Christians are the most loving people in the world. They are the ones, if somebody is in need, go and help them. They pray for them. Why in the world Christians are being hated? John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We have the answer here. Jesus left heaven to come to this earth. He said, I came to seek and save that was lost. He did so many miracles while he was on this earth. He healed the blind. He healed the deaf. He healed the paralyzed. He did all kinds of healings. He even raised the dead. People saw all that, but they still hated him. They never saw any healings or anybody that spoke like Jesus before. Even that, they still hated him. You will be hated because of my name. That is what is happening in the world today. But good thing is, there are so many Hindus and Muslims in different countries like Iran accepting Jesus. When they prayed to the gods for answer, Jesus appeared to most of these people and talked to them. And they become Christians. And now they are sharing the gospel, but they are being persecuted. When they were with them, doing all the bad things that they were doing, they're okay. When their life has been changed and loving others, sharing the good news that they came to know, they hate them. I went to dedicate borewells. We've been drilling borewells in India. So far, in last 7-8 years, we drilled 150 borewells so far. That means 150 borewells are open to our evangelists to go to their villages. They're hearing the gospel. Some of them becoming Christians and their lives being changed forever. And when I went to dedicate the borewell, that's a rainy day, all day, we traveled 7 hours to get to that place. And we told them we are coming there, and those pastors and the villagers were waiting for us since morning. And we went there by 5 o'clock in the evening. And by the time we went to that place, there was a river, dry bed, but that day was raining very hard, and the river was overflowing with water. And we stopped there. We couldn't cross that river. Some of them said, you can sit on this chair, we can carry you. And our guys said, no, it's very dangerous. And we told one of our evangelists, you go and dedicate these borewells when there is a way for you to get there. And we are going back. And we came back home. And while we were there, there were some young people gathered. And they started sharing their testimony. We were once Hindus. We heard the gospel. And we gave our life to Jesus. And Jesus called us to preach the gospel now. And they asked us if you could help us some. We could have some food. If we don't work, we can't have any food. So we have some free time to go and worship like share the gospel to the people that are living in the deep, in the jungles. And they are preaching the gospel now, and they asked us, could you please help us? And I told them, you pray about this, and I pray, and if God wants me to help you, I will help you. And I came back home, and I started praying, and I told them in the board meeting about these young people, and they said, okay, we'll pray, and see you how God helps. And the other day, I received a letter. Somebody sent a check and said, this is for evangelists, 10 evangelists for a year. Praise the Lord. God provided, and I called our pastors and said, go and tell them that I'm sending the support to these people. And while we were there, they brought a man and shared the story. He was once a Hindu. He became a Christian. He is preaching the gospel. And he was beat up by the radicals. And they thought he was dead, and they threw him in bushes and they left. And later on, somebody saw him and went and brought him out of the bushes, and he's still alive. And they all started praying for him. God healed him. And again, he's on the streets preaching the gospel again. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Here, Jesus is saying to them, Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem. There were hundreds, even thousands of people around him, praising God, praising Jesus, and making a lot of noise, walking in the street. And they came close to what's that village where Jericho was? Jericho. And they came close to Jericho. And there was a blind man who was sitting on the roadside begging. When he heard people were talking, he said, who's going? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he heard about him before. And he started crying, saying loudly, Jesus, Son of David, heal me, help me. And Jesus passed by him. And he heard this voice, Jesus, Son of David, help me, please. Jesus stopped and told the people around him, go and bring him. When he was calling Jesus, some of them said, be quiet. He doesn't have time for you. He's going on a very important mission. And to the same people, Jesus said, go and call him. And when they brought him to Jesus, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I'm blind. I want to see. Jesus touched him and healed him. Praise the Lord. When Jesus is near to us, we have to call on him if we have a need. This blind man called. And Jesus heard. And there are so many people in the world, as a last resort for their help, they're calling out to a God. All the idols never answer. Only Jesus, who is a living God, who can speak to us, who can touch us and heal us. It's impossible to human beings to touch and heal people. But it's only possible with Jesus. Praise the Lord. And when they were walking in the street of Jericho, there was a man came to Jesus, came to see him. When he came, he saw so many people. He wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't see because he was short. The scripture says he was the chief tax collector. He was the most hated person in that entire area because they were working for Romans and collecting taxes from the Jewish people. They are forcefully taking money from them. There are some other people working under Zacchaeus. They were collecting money and Zacchaeus gets a portion of it. And they have to take some portion and give some to the Roman government. So the Jewish people hated him, hated the tax collectors. And Zacchaeus knows about, he knew about it. But his desire was so great. He heard that he went to tax collectors' homes for dinner. He heard that Matthew was called to follow him. So he heard about Jesus, all the miracles that he was doing. So he had a great desire to see who he is. When he saw all these people, he wasn't discouraged. He found a way. He ran ahead of them, climbed a tree, and looking down from the tree. And Jesus came walking right under the tree. Jesus stopped and looked up. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to stay at your home tonight. Zacchaeus forgot everything. Somebody is going to kill me. Somebody is going to hit me. He forgot all that. Jesus called him. And he came down immediately. And he invited Jesus to his house. When he went to the house, his life is already transforming. He said, Jesus, I give half of my possessions to the poor and needy. And I pay four times if I cheated anybody. There are probably hundreds of them. And when Jesus was talking to him, there was a group of people, he were murmuring. What kind of man is this? He goes to sinner's house, he talks to them, he have dinner with them. What kind is he? Then Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he said, the Son of Man came to seek and save that was lost. Praise the Lord. Our God is a seeking God. He goes around and seeks those who are sick, those who are hurting. He seeks and he talks to them. And he transformed their lives. And he changed their lives. Seek and save. That's what our evangelists are doing these days. When they become Christians, they are called. No matter what happens, what persecution it comes, they never turn back. Some tribal Christians were being beaten and taken Bibles from them and burned. There are so many places this is happening in India Nigeria is the worst place. And all over the world now, the persecution is taking place. And here, in this country, we're beginning to see those things are starting. If you are a Christian, you are being looked down in the world. It's happening everywhere now. So we have to be strong in the faith. We have to seek God. Seek people who are lost. One day we are having a pastor's meeting. They were all sitting on, the pastors were sitting on the floor. I was sharing, and there was a man who was keep moving, and he couldn't sit straight. He was constantly moving. I asked him, is there a problem with you? Why are you moving so quickly like that? And another pastor told me, he just beat up, and his ribs are broken. He's having a hard time sitting on the floor. And I asked them, bring a chair and have him sit on it. And he sat there. And afterwards, we all prayed for him. And he was preaching the gospel. It's a good news. All the people are searching for a God. This man found the answer for their prayers. He found Jesus. He accepted Jesus. And he was preaching the gospel. And they turned around and beat him up and broke his ribs. That didn't stop him from coming to the meeting. And pray for India. Pray for our families. And pray for our ministry. We thank you so much. And God bless you all.